Think about the last time you booked a hotel for a trip. Like, really think about it.
Yeah, put yourself right back in that moment.
Exactly. I want you to be really honest with yourself for a second. Put yourself back in that moment at your laptop. Did you actively choose that specific place? Like, you woke up knowing, I absolutely have to stay there. Nowhere else will do.
Right, like a true destination.
Yeah. Or did you just sort of, well, did you settle for it?
That is the big question.
I mean, maybe you opened a massive booking site, threw in your dates, filtered by price, checked to make sure it had like at least 4 stars, and just let the algorithm dictate where you were going to sleep.
It's a slightly uncomfortable question to really sit with, isn't it?
Oh, totally.
Because if we look closely at our own travel behavior, I mean, 90% of the time we are just settling. We're totally exhausted by the paradox of choice, so we just outsource our decision-making to a search bar.
Yeah, we just want it done.
Right. We aren't choosing, we're just accepting what's easily found.
And that fundamental distinction between actively choosing a place and simply settling for what an algorithm feeds you, that is the entire focus of what we're getting into today.
It's such a crucial difference.
It really is. So we are looking at a really brilliant piece of source material today by Elena Mistry. She's a business growth and partnerships lead, and she wrote this piece called The 5 Pillars of Strategic Hotel Branding.
Which is just a fantastic breakdown.
It's so good. Now, the mission of today's deep dive is to look at her work and like completely decode the underlying infrastructure that takes a business from simply being found in a crowded marketplace
Yeah.
to actively, deliberately being
And
chosen.
I'm glad you used the word infrastructure because that is really the central thesis of her entire document.
Yeah.
Yeah, building a brand that gets chosen is not. It's not a marketing campaign. You don't just run some Facebook ads and suddenly become the destination of choice.
Right, it's not just a slogan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But to understand why this infrastructure is so vital, we really have to look at the financial reality that hotel owners are just honestly quietly suffocating under.
Okay, let's unpack this because in her text, she references some previous works, specifically issues number 29 and 30, and they lay out a completely counterintuitive financial premise.
Oh, completely.
Because, I mean, as a consumer or even a novice business owner, the assumption is always that relying on algorithms and third-party booking platforms is like the cheapest, most efficient way to get customers.
It's what they want you to think, right?
Right, you build the hotel, you list your rooms on a massive travel site, you let their multi-million-dollar tech do all the heavy lifting of finding guests, and you just pay them a commission. It feels like a really smart delegation of
That
marketing.
is easy.
Yeah, exactly. But Mystery argues that this isn't actually cheaper at all.
Not even close.
Yeah.
In reality, it's one of the most expensive ways to operate
Yeah.
because it merely shifts your costs into the future, and it does so with compounding interest. Yeah, think about the mechanics of it. If a guest finds your hotel through a third-party site, you pay a commission, let's say 15 to 20%.
Pretty standard.
Right. That guest stays, they have a nice time, they leave. But if you haven't built the infrastructure to make them deliberately choose you next year, what happens when they want to come back to your city?
I mean, they just go right back to the booking site.
Precisely. They go straight back to the algorithm. And if they happen to stumble upon your hotel again, you have to pay that exact same 15 to 20% commission fee for a guest you already hosted.
Wait, so you're paying again for the same person?
Yes, you are effectively taxing your own returning revenue forever.
Oh, wow. It's like a treadmill you can never get off of. Which, explains why every hotel manager eventually stands in a boardroom and declares, "We need to build a stronger brand so people book directly with us."
They all say it. But build a stronger brand isn't an actual strategy. It's just a wishful slogan you write on a whiteboard. Being chosen by a customer requires a physical and operational foundation that makes you the only logical choice for a very specific type of person.
The only choice.
Right. And that foundation starts with a very harsh reality check about
Yeah.
who you actually serve.
Okay, let's get into that first step, the first pillar. Because before you can be chosen, you have to know exactly who is doing the choosing.
Absolutely.
And the instinct for almost every business is to try and capture everyone. They cast what the text calls the net for everyone.
Which is a trap.
Yeah, you go to their website and it says something incredibly broad like, "We are a boutique hotel offering luxury hospitality for discerning travelers and
Which
families."
is completely meaningless.
Right?
I mean, discerning travelers is just corporate white noise for people with active credit cards. It's entirely hollow.
Totally hot.
So the first absolute requirement for being chosen is radical, clear positioning. You have to abandon the safety of generic appeal and embrace true specialization.
Yeah.
Mystery gives these incredibly vivid examples in her text of what real positioning actually sounds like when it's done right.
Yeah, the contrast she provides is wild. Like, instead of just slapping family-friendly on a website because you happen to have a pool.
Right, which everyone has.
Exactly. She describes a hotel positioned as the place families choose when they want their kids to get to know real Greek villages rather than staying in a kids' club all day.
To see. It instantly paints a picture, doesn't it?
It really does.
Or instead of saying, great for couples, the positioning is the accommodation couples choose when they are seeking total privacy, not just aesthetic photos for their social media.
Oh, I love that one.
Or my personal favorite. The place solo travelers prefer when they want to get completely lost for 2 weeks on a small Greek island.
Okay, but let me push back on this for a second. Because if I'm a hotel owner listening to this right now, I'm probably having a minor panic attack.
I can imagine, yeah.
My instinct is, isn't that terrible for business? I have 60 rooms to fill every single night. Shouldn't I want more potential customers, not fewer?
It feels counterintuitive, yeah.
Like, if I loudly declare that I'm for the family that wants to hike through authentic Greek villages, aren't I actively alienating the exhausted parents who just want to drop their kids off at a supervised club so they can drink margaritas in peace?
You are absolutely alienating them, and that is the entire point.
Wait, really? The point is to alienate people.
Yes. If you try to please the margarita parents and the hiking parents, you offer a mediocre version of both.
It's kind of like dating, isn't it?
How so?
Well, if you go on a date and you just try to mirror whatever the other person wants, like you say, like every type of music, every type of food, every movie, you end up watering down your actual personality so much that you become incredibly boring.
That is so true.
You're no one's exact type. You're just agreeable.
That's a really great way to look at it. Agreeable positioning does not create a durable memory. If you are constantly trying to be a solid 7 out of 10 for every single demographic on Earth, no specific traveler is going to carry the thought of your hotel in their mind.
Right.
Not from the moment they discover you until the moment they are finally ready to pull out their wallet. You're just a generic, nice place.
Just another building with beds.
Exactly. To be chosen, you have to be a 10 out of 10 for a very specific person, which inherently means being a 2 out of 10 for someone else.
So how does a business actually know if they've nailed this? Because it's so easy to trick yourself into thinking you have a clear identity.
The author provides a really sharp practical test for this.
I love a good practical test.
It's a tough one. You walk into your business tomorrow, pull 3 different team members aside separately, and ask them to answer one question. Who exactly does our hotel exist for? If you get 3 different answers, or if you get vague jargon about luxury guests, your foundation is completely cracked. Every single person on the payroll needs to be able to answer that question with the exact same highly specific sentence.
Man, that is a brutal test.
It is.
But let's say a business passes it. They know exactly who they are for, say, the disappearing solo travelers.
Okay, good.
That creates a new problem, right? How do you make sure that solo traveler actually remembers you weeks or months after they first see your Instagram post or read a blog about you?
Which brings us to the second pillar, the psychology of human memory, and what Mystery calls the specific memory anchor.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because I think a lot of places get this wrong.
They absolutely do. What's fascinating here is that there is a massive fundamental disconnect between how professional marketers write and how the human brain actually encodes information.
We mean?
Well, marketers love to communicate in broad categories. They lean on phrases like, we offer beautiful views, or world-class service, or an authentic local experience.
Which, again, is just invisible ink. I mean, have you ever seen a hotel website advertising mediocre views and slightly chilly hospitality?
Exactly. Every single hotel claims those categories.
Yeah, it's just expected.
And because every hotel claims them, the brain just filters them out. Human beings don't remember abstract categories.
Right.
We remember sensory details. The brain needs something highly specific and visual to latch onto.
Right, like a hook.
Yes. A memory anchor is a detail so vivid and characteristic that a traveler can effortlessly recount it to a friend over dinner 6 months after they unpack their bags.
The examples in the text are so good at illustrating this difference. Like, it's not the broad category of beautiful nature. It's the specific detail of the 300-year-old olive tree in the courtyard where breakfast is served every single morning.
Yes, Exactly. It's not the category of great service. It's the detail of the owner personally walking you all the way down to the port when it's time for you to leave.
It's the hidden private cove that you can only get to by walking down a secret path maintained by the hotel. Or it's the physical wooden library in the lobby filled exclusively with paperbacks left behind by past guests.
These are the things that actually stick to the ribs of your brain.
Yeah, think about your own conversations when a coworker asks you, hey, where did you stay on your vacation in Italy? You don't say, oh, we stayed at a facility with authentic hospitality and premium amenities.
Yeah, no, you'd sound like a robot.
Right. You say, we stayed at this incredible little place where you literally eat breakfast under a 300-year-old olive tree.
The fascinating thing is that almost every single independent hotel actually possesses these unique details already.
You think so?
Oh, definitely. The tragedy is that they usually bury them at the very bottom of a bulleted list of room features, somewhere below free Wi-Fi and hairdryer.
Oh, man, that's so sad.
The businesses that get chosen are the ones that take those specific details and elevate them to the front page.
Okay, but if I'm a business owner, I might think my, you know, my standard breakfast buffet is unforgettable. How do I objectively know if I have a real memory anchor or if I'm just kidding myself?
The test here is simple. If you were eavesdropping on a past guest describing your hotel to a friend, what is the very first detail they would mention?
Okay.
If you don't know the answer to that, or if the honest answer is something generic like it was clean and near the train station, then you haven't provided an unforgettable experience. You've merely provided a transaction.
Ouch. But fair.
Yeah.
So you've created this incredible, vivid memory of the 300-year-old olive tree. The guest loves you. They leave feeling amazing.
Yep.
But here's the catch. If they book through an algorithm, you have absolutely no way to invite them back next summer. A great memory is kind of economically useless if you can't capitalize on it.
That is the harsh reality.
Which leads right into the next foundational piece, pillar three, owning the direct relationship.
This is where the compounding interest we talked about earlier either destroys you or makes you rich.
Yeah.
It's the step most hotels neglect because, well, it requires patience. It doesn't offer instant gratification.
Right.
The core truth here is about ownership versus renting. Hotels that are deliberately chosen actively own the relationship with their traveler. Hotels that are just found are permanently renting that relationship from an online travel agency or OTA.
It's literally like building a multi-million dollar mansion on land you don't own.
Such a good analogy.
If you rely entirely on booking sites, you don't actually have customers. The platform has customers. You are just fulfilling the order.
Exactly.
If you don't have the guest's actual email address, like the one they check every day,
yeah,
you have to pay a toll to the landlord, the algorithm, every single time you want to invite that guest back inside your own house.
Now let's break down the math on why that tool is so devastating over time.
Okay, let's hear it.
Say you have two hotels on day one. Hotel A works aggressively to capture direct contact info, building an owned list of, say, 50,000 past guests and interested travelers.
Great.
Hotel B just lets the platforms handle everything, capturing zero direct contacts. Now, for the first year or two, they might look completely identical on a financial spreadsheet.
Yeah.
They are both full. They are both generating revenue.
But fast forward to year six.
Right. Year six is where the realities diverge entirely. They are now operating in completely different economic universes.
How so?
Hotel A can send one well-crafted email in the spring and fill a third of its rooms for the upcoming summer, paying absolutely $0 in acquisition costs.
Wow.
Meanwhile, Hotel B is still bleeding 15 to 20% on every single booking, even for guests who have stayed with them four times before.
That is insane. I mean, think about your own inbox right now. How many generic mass blast promotional emails do you get from booking platforms versus emails from actual specific businesses that you visited that you actively look forward to reading?
The difference in conversion there is just massive.
It really is. So the practical test for a business here is, how many travelers can you contact tomorrow morning without paying a third party for the privilege of reaching them?
Yes.
If that number isn't growing every single month, you aren't building a sustainable business. You're just borrowing one.
So if we look at what we've built so far, we know exactly who we are talking to. We know the specific memory we are anchoring in their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the direct conduit to reach them without paying a toll.
The infrastructure is coming together.
Exactly. Now, we have to figure out how we actually communicate with them. What is the tone? That brings us to pillars four and five, voice and, crucially, consistency.
And I want to define voice carefully here because it's not about your logo design or, you know, the color palette on your website.
No, not at all.
It's about language. It's the actual vocabulary you use. Do you sound like a distinct entity with a specific point of view, or do you sound like a templated AI-generated luxury brochure?
Exactly. But before we get into the mechanics of voice and consistency, we have to talk about the trap.
The trap.
This raises an important question, and Mystery calls this the hard sequence. It highlights the single biggest mistake business owners make when they decide to rebrand.
Let me guess. They start at the end. They jump straight to the fun stuff.
They do. Because defining your voice and ensuring your website matches your emails, that feels like traditional marketing. It's tangible.
Right.
You get to hire a creative agency, rewrite the website copy, pick out some new fonts, design a slick newsletter. It feels incredibly productive.
It's like picking out the curtains and the paint colors for a new house before you've even poured the concrete foundation. It feels like you're building a home. But the second the wind blows, the whole thing is going to collapse.
That is the perfect way to visualize it. Because think about the logic here. Voice, without clear positioning, is just well-written vagueness. You might hire a brilliant copywriter to craft beautiful, poetic prose, but if you don't know exactly who that prose is meant for, it's just pretty words floating in a void. It doesn't convert.
And consistency without a specific memory anchor is just repeating generalities over and over again. Being consistently boring across every platform doesn't make people choose you.
No, it just makes them ignore you more reliably.
Exactly. If you skip the heavy lifting of figuring out who you are for, what they will remember, and how to reach them directly, and you jump straight to fonts and tone of voice, those final two steps become purely decorative. You absolutely have to follow the sequence.
And that final step, absolute consistency, is what locks the entire infrastructure together. Because inconsistency is the enemy of memory.
This is so true. I mean, imagine you find a hotel online and their entire positioning and voice promises the secluded, quiet, authentic local retreat. The memory anchor they are selling is deep relaxation.
Sounds lovely.
Right. You book it, you travel there, and the moment you arrive, the check-in desk is a chaotic, loud, corporate environment with a QR code menu and a stressed-out manager.
There.
We all have. The cognitive dissonance is immediate. Your brain instantly rejects the memory anchor they tried to plant.
But when you have true consistency, when the Instagram ad matches the tone of the booking engine, which matches the physical smell of the lobby, which matches the warmth of the post-stay email, every single touch point validates the original promise.
It all aligns.
Yes. That is the alchemy that turns a fleeting memory into a permanent preference.
To test if a business actually has a distinct voice, Mystery suggests a great exercise. Print out a page from your website homepage, print out a marketing email, and print out a recent social media caption.
Okay.
Now, cut the logo off the top of all three. If you handed those papers to a stranger, would they immediately know they were written by the exact same business? Or do they sound like three totally different freelance marketers wrote them on three different days?
That is a brilliant test.
Yeah.
And for consistency, the test is stepping back and looking at the entire funnel from a distance.
Right.
If a total stranger saw your ad, booked a room, stayed three nights, and received your follow-up email, will they leave with one single, sharp, unshakable image of who you are? Or would they leave with a jumble of conflicting impressions?
So what does this all mean? Let's zoom all the way out. Because doing this right is not a quick fix. Building the sequence takes 12, 24, maybe 36 months to truly cement into an operation.
It's an investment.
Right. When a business actually commits to this, when they start relying on algorithms and start building this step-by-step infrastructure, what is the actual tangible payoff at the end of that road?
Well, the beauty of this approach is that it doesn't necessarily require spending more capital. It requires reallocating the capital you are already spending.
Okay.
You are taking the cash you currently burn on short-term digital ads and platform commissions, and you are using it to build a loyal, owned audience. And when you do that, the operational outcomes are transformational.
The text highlights some massive wins here. First, you completely change your demand curve.
Yes.
Seasonality stops dictating your survival. September no longer brings this terrifying sharp drop in revenue the second summer ends because you have an own database of specific people you can reach out to directly to fill those rooms.
You also stop paying what is essentially an idiot tax, paying a third-party algorithm to acquire a loyal guest who already loves you.
Yes. But the holy grail of all of this, the ultimate payoff, is pricing power.
Well, absolutely.
When you are just a generic hotel settling for being found, travelers are strictly comparing your nightly rate to the five other generic hotels in a 2-mile radius. It's a constant race to the bottom on price.
It's a miserable game to play.
But when you have built a specific memory anchor for a highly specific type of person, they stop comparing you to alternative options. They start comparing you to the memory you've created in their mind. You become entirely incomparable.
You don't market your way into being the choice. You build the structure that makes you the only logical choice. And once that foundation is poured, it pays dividends season after season, year after year, without you having to start from scratch every single spring.
To bring this all together, the author leaves the reader with a challenge, and it's a piece of homework I want to issue directly to you listening right now.
Oh, I like this.
Whether you run a hotel, a bakery, a tech startup, or a consulting firm, sit down and try to fill in this blank. We are the business chosen by people when they want blank.
But remember the golden rule of positioning here. It cannot be an answer that sounds universally pleasant to everyone.
Right, no margarita parents and hiking parents.
Exactly. It has to be an answer that makes one specific group of people feel like this business was willed into existence entirely for them, even if it means actively pushing someone else away. If you stare at that blank and struggle to fill it in with something highly specific, you know exactly where your work needs to begin.
You can't just be a list of amenities. You have to be the 300-year-old olive tree.
It's a masterful framework for the hospitality industry. But as we wrap up, I want to leave you with a thought that extends far beyond booking hotel rooms.
Okay, let's hear it.
If this framework positioning, memory anchors, direct relationships, distinct voice, and absolute consistency is the secret to moving a business from being easily found to deliberately chosen, how does that apply to your own career?
Oh, wow. That's a fascinating pivot.
Think about it. When an employer or a potential client is looking to hire someone, are you just a list of generic skills easily found in a massive pile of resumes?
A list of amenities.
Exactly. Are you just hardworking and detail-oriented? Or have you built the specific memory anchors and the distinct voice that makes you the absolute only choice for a specific type of problem?
That is definitely something to chew on. Are you renting your career or do you own it? Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. We hope this conversation helps you look at your business and maybe yourself a little differently to stop settling for just being found and start building the infrastructure to be chosen. Take care, and we'll catch you next time.